Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of Chicago Bullseye. Though we have not had many of these this year, we do it when it counts. And the trade deadline passed yesterday. For once in our lives, we have had a major, major trade. And the problem is that I can't even recite the whole trade to you because I don't know who the hell we got besides Cameron Payne. I could not even pronounce the name. So, Fred, welcome. How are you? Maybe you could help me out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of mixed reactions. I understand why we traded Taj. You know, I mean, we had to do it, right, to get some assets in return. He's probably not in the big picture rebuild or quasi-rebuild on the run, whatever you want for it. At a certain level, that disappoints me because I think Taj Gibson is the kind of guy that you'd like to have for young players to be around. It's a complete class act. He's a great example for people. I love Taj Gibson. It was one of the best picks in the history of the Chicago Bulls. Fantastic pick that we got at number 26.
Fantastic.
If you go back and look, I mean, look at the number 26 picks in every draft in the interim, you know. I mean, there's a lot of guys who aren't even in the league. So, great pick, and he's just, I can't say enough good stuff about Taj Gibson. I think he's a real deal, and, you know, he'll always be held in high esteem with me. And I think he really symbolized kind of like the greatest moment for the Bulls, this era with Rose and Noah, with his dunk on Wade in the, you know, playoffs and game one victory over the Heat in 2011. And that's kind of like almost the apex. I think you could probably argue that that team subsequent year, you know, during the regular season, the shortened regular season, that might have been the apex until Derek, you know, tore his knee. Yeah, I still feel that team would have won a title, the team the following year. But in retrospect, that dunk in that game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, symbolically, could probably be the best moment in the history of the Chicago Bulls, the recent history of the Chicago Bulls.
For sure. And you know what? I just want to say that for all, and we can, you know, we can shit on Gar Pax here in a moment if we want to, or, you know, we'll see how we feel. But the whole city has been taking giant dumps on them over the last couple years here. And I just want to say again, like you just said, Fred, this was a 22 pick? Was that what he was? 22?
Six.
26. I mean, people, it is very strange how fans react. It's like the Bulls management sucks all across the board. It's like, well, they drafted Taj Gibson at 26. This guy's been on the team now for like 6 years. He's been like a staple of this team. He was one of the best players on the team this year. Our best player was drafted 30. Clearly our team can draft. And people are freaking out about the fact that we traded the pick yesterday. It's like, you're giving away picks. You want youth and you're giving away youth. And it's like, well, no, we gave around a second round pick. And I bring it up because, yeah, Taj Gibson worked out at the 26th pick, but everyone else typically is getting drafted in that range are players that are not going to play past their rookie contract. Now, the second round, like, nobody ever makes the team in the second round. We did not give up a pick. We gave up, give me a Chicago Bulls second round pick that really did anything on this team at all. I can't even tell you one.
Oh,
I can
Zipster.
Think of a couple that made, Zipster's made the team, but he hasn't really been good yet.
Merisheek, they've had a couple second round picks that have been helpful. I mean, but yeah, the bigger point is, really, the game-changing guys is kind of few and far between.
Very,
you know, really,
few and far between. And that's why this trade happened, Fred. In my look, the trade happened because either you know you're probably not going to sign Taj, or if you do, you could stick with these guys forever. Clearly, our fans don't want that. They want us to go young. So what are you going to do? You're not going to. People are ridiculous when they feel like you can go out there and trade Taj Gibson for a player of his caliber who's 22 years old. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you're going to get, you can either get crappy youth for a player like Taj Gibson, or you can go out there and try to get a project. And that's what we did. We got a guy that we feel has high upside. And you roll the dice and you take a risk because you're not going to get. Look at what Sacramento got for DeMarcus Cousins. Look at what freaking Dallas gave away for Nerlens Noel, who was a 4 pick in the draft. Just 3. He is a young player. And look at what they gave away. They gave away nothing. The fact is that typically, the best you can hope for in a trade is potential. It's never value for value. It's never like that. So fans got to get over that. Fans got to get over that. Now, does Payne have the upside? Is Payne somebody that we think can be the starting point guard on this team in a year or two? That's up for debate. But why the Bulls made this trade makes absolute sense. I'm just conflicted. My only confliction to me comes from, do we really have a direction? Because we gave up a lot to get Taj Gibson, or to get Taj, to get Doug McDermott. We gave up two picks that were slightly below Taj, or Doug's pick, to get him. And now 2 years later, when I feel like he's done everything that you would expect, I mean, I don't know what you expected from Doug McDermott. I feel like he's living up to his expectations and improving. You know, he might not be great, but he's getting better. And, you know, you trade him 2 years in. What did you want from Doug McDermott? I that's my issue, is that I feel like, do we really have a direction? Because if you did, I feel like I get it if what you tried to do didn't pan out. But they gave up a lot for McDermott, and they didn't stick with him and see it through in a day and age when the three-point shot seems to matter. We're giving up more and more three-point shooters. I don't really understand that. So I'm conflicted on this deal, Fred.
Yeah, I've been a McDermott fan my whole life, right? I mean, my whole life. This whole tenure with the Bulls.
Since Craig Hodges was playing, you loved Doug McDermott.
Exactly. So his whole tenure with the Bulls, I was big advocate of what they did to get McDermott. And obviously this year he disappointed me greatly. Last year I thought he had a great year, you know, top seven in three-point percentage. That's what his job is, to hit threes. This year he's been, you know, very disappointing. I mean, still at right around 37%. That's okay. Not where I expect him to be. And I just feel he could have won several games for us. Could have won the Washington game. Could have won the Houston game by hitting open threes. And he didn't come through. And it wasn't working out. So I'm fine with moving him. You know, Cameron Payne's a big if. He hasn't played a lot. He's got less minutes than Paul Zipser, to put that in perspective. I think he's got 320 off the top of my head.
Overall, or this year?
Just this season.
But yeah,
overall,
but
he's only got about 1,000 minutes.
January 7th was his first game this year, so
that's
fine.
Yeah.
And Zipster's...
Yeah, my biggest point, we don't know what we have, right? We don't know what we have. But it all depends. I mean, this is a big deal. Like, he needs to work out, or you're just giving it away, you know, basically. I guess you could also argue, I heard somebody else, you know, Jeffrey Laverne, or however you pronounce his name, is actually, you know, a big man that can stretch the floor, who's actually hitting the three this year. But, you know, it's with those two guys, Cameron Payne's the key part of it. He better work out. Like, you know, he needs to be a contributing role, at least a rotation player. And if he doesn't, this is a big, big, you know, blemish on the record of Gar Pax, which I think is much better than most people want to admit. You know, I've always stated this. I think a lot of the hate just goes to when he fired, you know, Tibbs, and Tibbs deserved to be fired. I've talked about it ad nauseum about, you know, how horrible his minutes were at the end. And even to this day, it's obvious now when you got, you know, if you look at the Minnesota minutes with Towns and Wiggins. You know, that said, it has been a while since they've really made a great move. I'm still going to support John Paxson. I think John Paxson is uniquely positioned to do this job, winning three titles with the Bulls, winning one as a coach in the 96-97 team. And I thought we would have won a title of Derek Sneeden blowout in 2012. But, you know, people always ask me, why did he defend John Paxson? I talked about this in ESPN 1000. I remember sitting in the United Center in 2000, 2 hours before the game, and watching Michael Ruffin miss about 15 straight 10-foot jumpers on an empty court with no one on the court. And I turned to my buddy and said, there's no hope. I mean, this is just awful. And going through Pfizer and Ron Mercer and Dragan Tarlick and all those bums, we went four full seasons, Mark, with a total of 66 wins over four seasons. And put that in perspective, Fred Hoiberg has 70 wins in a year and a half. So as bad as you think this is, it can get a lot worse.
A lot worse.
And, you know,
Paxson turned it around overnight.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Paxson was hired, things were almost immediately better. And then, you know, and then he took Gordon, he took Dang, and things got better quick, and he hired Skiles. And then after that period, he drafted Noah, Rose, and Taj consecutive drafts. Noah, Rose, Taj. And things got, and you built a team basically around those three and other assets, and that team ran its course, and now here we are with Jimmy, who was picked at number 30. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just not, definitely not as negative as most people are. I don't feel like this is helpless just simply because we have Jimmy Butler. And either build around Jimmy or you trade him and do a full rebuild. It's simple. One or two. And either way, we'll be fine. That's the way I feel. It's, I do feel that after everything I've heard, the Celtics didn't want to give up an unprotected number one for the Nets pick. It's like, are you freaking serious? You tell that guy Danny Ainge to go pound sand. It must be like a 2007 team.
Fine.
Where, no, you know, Bulls. Yeah. This is Jimmy Butler on a great contract. He's a top 10 player. You don't want to unprotect that pick. You guys can continue to suck and continue to get first disappointing playoff exit. You're not going to win anything without Jimmy Butler. And if you're not willing to unprotect that pick, good luck. It's not going to happen. You know, I mean, you're not making a trade, period.
I agree. You don't want to wait on a pick either. You don't want to have it be some, like, sliding protection scale. Look, if Danny Ainge wants to win, he would have made a trade and gotten one of the big guys, but if he doesn't want to give up the pick, and I see why he wouldn't. I mean, you might not think if you have Butler that that's going to put you past Cleveland, and if you wait for the pick, maybe it will, fine. Whatever the Celtics want to do, fine. But, you know, I think this trade brings to a head here how unfair Chicago sports fans are, why we started this show in the first place. Is just, I think Chicago sports fans are just extremely negative, extremely unfair, and they've just completely destroyed the image of Garpax across the city. And I mean, overall, the team's been good. And the fact is that the reason that we're so angry is because people can't remember the memories you have of Michael Ruffin. It's been a long time. There's a lot of Bulls fans who probably never even lived through the end of the Jerry Krause era when Paxson took over. And he's the thing that people do not want to conceive is the fact that we did get lucky with Rose, but they made good choices in being able to quickly build a team that was contending for a championship with Rose. Now, Rose gets injured. Yeah. That is terrible, terrible luck. But what do you do? People want to sit in hindsight and say, you know what, the minute he tore his ACL, you should have just dropped them and built a contender the next day. That's just not realistic. The fact is, players like Jimmy Butler, players like Derrick Rose, do not grow on trees. The reason we have Jimmy Butler is because this management drafted him at 30th. They had the foresight to find this dude. They probably had no idea that he'd be this, but they drafted him at 30th. And if they didn't draft him, we wouldn't have him. And with Rose, you never knew that you were going to have a Jimmy Butler. You had to wait it out a little bit and see how Rose was. He had just signed a giant deal. You were going to get nothing for him if you tried to trade him with ACL injuries immediately. You had to at least show that he could play. And we got something for him a few years down the road. Robin Lopez is a good player. He's one of the few assets I think this team still has in terms of tradable assets because his contract is good and he lives up to the value of his contract, undoubtedly, lives up to the value of his contract. So I feel like the Bulls did the best they could with that situation. And even with that situation, Fred, we had multiple seasons with Rose Part 2 where we, as fans, thought that we were in it. That's what you're fighting for, Fred. The Toronto Raptors, the Boston Celtics, these teams just want a chance to be in it, to be in the discussion. You cannot snap your fingers and be the Golden State Warriors. I read a post by Kush today, and Kush, I hope you're listening. I'm sorry. I was hoping you'd be on the show. I don't want to, you know, go after you, but, you know, it's like, this move doesn't make us a championship move. Does this make us a championship move? Does this? Well, no. It's a process. It's not going to be something where you snap your fingers and trade Taj Gibson for the next championship player. It's just, that's not the way it works. It's a process. And the problem is that we have a lot of young players who were drafted low because we've been good. Some of them, well, many of them so far have not panned out. So they don't have any value. So we have to see right now, can these players pan out a little bit so that they have some value? You've only got a couple guys right now that I think are tradable assets moving forward. Robin Lopez, maybe Valentine, but that soon will not be the case. And we held on to
Jimmy Butler.
But the fact is you trade Jimmy, you better be getting some mega, 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 mega stuff because you're tanking and you obviously...
Absolutely.
You're going to have to get some mega stuff to do that sort of a trade. I'm glad that we held on to him. But we traded two of our major pieces, though. I felt like Doug, because of his three-point shooting, was a piece. I mean, obviously, people wanted him. And Taj, because of his veteran leadership, being not, you know, he ain't over the hill yet. He's on the wrong side of 30, but he's not at a point yet where he's declining. He's playing at a high level to a team that wants to compete. he has a lot of value, and I felt like of the, you know, three, maybe four pieces that have that are tradable, we traded two of them. So I just hope that we're turning it into an asset. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and be like, because Payne did bad this year or whatever, that it sucks. I'm going to let it play out, and I will judge the trade based upon that. But they are beginning to run on thinner. The ice under them, if this was, you know, Disney on ice, it is thinning. And I don't want them to fly, you know, drop into that ice. But, I mean, the ice is beginning to thin. What will make me lose, you know, I don't want to say hindsight's 20/20 in this. You know, it seems like a lot of reporters feel like Payne has a lot of upside. They get it from us, though. Most reporters that I'm reading are picking the winner in this trade to be OKC. But you got to admit, in terms of a sure thing, OKC made a great trade for that team. If they want to make, you know, be able to jump up a seed, maybe, they're not going to jump up much more than that, but if they want to compete in the playoffs, they need a Taj Gibson. The Bulls, you know, you're kind of stuck, and it's like, I get it. They needed to take a risk, so as long as, you know, if analysts think that the risk might pay off, well, then it seems like we may have taken the right risk, because you're not going to get a player that's a sure thing for a guy who's 31 years old with a contract that's about to expire. You're not going to get it. So the best you're going to do, the best chance of getting an impact player is taking somebody that's not there yet and rolling the dice. We've had a good eye for it in the past, Fred. We've had a good eye. Let's stop. We want to vilify our management because of Bobby Portis, pretty much because of Bobby Portis, right? Who else? Because of Portis. Is that Doug?
You know, Portis, that's ridiculous. Nico. All you have to do, go look and see the guys who were picked behind Portis.
Yeah, Nico. Look at where Nico was drafted. Nico, we got a guy that was considered to be one of the best players in Europe, and we got him at a very low point in the draft. We had a very low 20th pick, and we were able to move up to the early 20s to get a guy that had potential. Yeah, Nico hasn't panned out, but nobody thought he wasn't going to. Everyone thought it was an amazing move. So that's all you got to go on, man. The Bulls made a good move. It didn't pan out. So why do we hate their picks? Why do we hate their judgment so much? I'm going to trust them. I'm going to give them a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why people are a little bit less excited about their judgment, because recently, yes, Doug hasn't worked out. Nico definitely hasn't worked out. So, I mean, it's completely understandable. And, you know, Portis looks like he's regressed. Valentine hasn't looked like he's done well. Big point, I still think there's time on Valentine. I still think there's time on Portis. I've been very disappointed with Portis' defense. But bigger picture, they're picking, yes, the last two top 10 picks the Bulls have had were Rose and Noah. They hit homers with those. There's something I'd like to read you from Mark, and tell me what you think. I want you to try to guess this. Howard Beck on the Zach Lowe podcast, he recently shared some data on number one picks taken from number 10 to 19, those slots, during the last 15 NBA drafts. So number 10 to 19, that's where Doug was picked. Everybody else that we talked about was picked after that, for the most part. And he found out that all the picks in this range during the period, the last 15 years, two-thirds ended up being career bench players or worse, a.k.a. busts. And take a guess how many All-Stars are there. Out of 150 picks in the last 15 years...
I couldn't give you an estimate.
Eight. So let's look at the raw numbers. Eight All-Stars... 99 bench players or busts out of the 150. Eight All-Stars, 99 bench players or busts.
Where's the rest?
Well, I think the rest are either guys who just made the rotation or, you know, they're guys who, you know, decent players. They made the rotation whatsoever, but they're not bench players, and they might be starting, but they're not All-Stars. They're in between there, right? So,
like McDermott.
Yeah, I know that.
Right?
I know there's a ton. Well, I'd say Doug's probably considered a bench player. He's one of those 99. I know there's a ton of frustration, a ton of anger. You know, the fact is, it's hard to find impact players outside the top 10. We found that. The Mavs found that. There's a lot of teams that found that. You know, the team right now going forward, do you think they're going to make the playoffs? Let's just make a prediction right now.
My gut's telling me no. You know what? Look. It was evident when Jimmy plays, we've been a good team. We've been much better with him than obviously without him. How much time has Taj missed this year? Do you know?
No. He played most of the games. He was remarkably healthy this year. Him and Lopez have been our stars for that. Let me see how many games he played. Bull stats. I'll put it up right now, but I mean, I know he's played more than Jimmy. He sat out a couple games, I think, with an ankle injury. Let's see here. Jimmy Butler's played 51 games. Osh played 55, and Robin Lopez played 57. So Robin's the only guy who's made every game. He's played 57 games. Taj has played 55. Doug's played 44. Wade's played 48. Michael Carter Williams, 26. Rondo, 48. Jerry and Grant, 46. You know, they've had some injuries, but yeah, he's been remarkably healthy this year, Taj. I think he was fantastic. I mean, just absolutely. He averaged 11 points, averaged 7 rebounds. And, you know, to me, the big picture, he was a big reason we were so good at rebounding. I think that's going to go down the drain. And now, who's our force, Mark? Portis and Mirotic? That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. I mean, there's definitely a hole. Another thing, Fred, is that, you know, we, for all the talk about obviously making a young you know, length, athleticism, and creating that, clearly, you know, when you sign Wade and Rondo, I feel like, well, you are to some degree trying to win now. And I don't know what they expected when they signed Wade and Rondo, but I thought that this was a playoff team. That was about our ceiling. Maybe we could win 45, 6 games, maybe, but I thought that was about it. So, look, when this team, especially since we had that big slide when Butler wasn't playing, but we've been playing better as of late. I mean, as of late, we've been playing much better. So to think that, you know, I think that we were on the cut, we were on the verge of making the playoffs. That's the direction that we were headed, was to become a playoff team. I only thought that we were going up. So, you know, I am upset as well. I mean, we discussed it before, Fred, is that you can consistently be saying, you know, tanking and trying to get draft picks so that you can be the next Golden State Warriors, or you could be consistently trying to field a competitor and looking for the right opportunities where you can, you know, take that next step but remain competitive. I like the second option because there's only one Golden State Warriors. There's only one Cleveland Cavaliers. The same teams seem to dominate decades. And if you're not that team, or eras at least, if you're not that team, you ain't going to win. And I'd much rather be a team that's like the Toronto Raptors right now, that's just winning ball games and, you know, fun to watch. And maybe, you know, you get, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks less of basketball with them than you do with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But they're competitive and they make the playoffs and they fight hard. I'd rather have that than be making the huge risks that you have to make to be potentially one day a championship caliber team. And I thought that that's the decision that we had made. And by getting rid of Taj, you know, it kind of makes me think, like, well, what are we now? I do think that we're worse than we were before. And, I mean, I think we can still make the playoffs, but will we? I mean, who are we really fighting with right now in those lower spots? I mean, who has...
Charlotte, Detroit.
Maybe Charlotte. Detroit hasn't been very good.
Well, they beat Charlotte yesterday, I believe, in overtime. Yeah, let's see. Well, we were a game out of 6th seed. Let's see here. Let me pull the stats up. You know, big picture, too, I think this makes Oklahoma City much better. I mean, that's a guy, Taj, and they fit in really well with those that team. They needed some shooting. They got that in Doug. And I really hope they put the fear of God to some team in the playoffs. The Bulls right now are 28-29. They're one full game behind the Pacers. They're a half a game ahead of the Pistons now for the 8th spot, half a game only, who are 28-30. And they're a full, full 2 games ahead of the Bucks, who are 25-30. So they're going against the Bucks, the Heat, the Hornets. Well, the Hornets have fallen back. The Knicks, 76ers, Magic.
Well, the Heat have been really good. So maybe the Heat could take that spot, but the Bucks ain't going anywhere. I mean, the Bucks aren't going to take that spot. They've been playing terrible.
They're 4 games up on the Hornets.
Hornets have been
3 games
apart.
Up on the Heat. They're 2 games up on the Bucks, and they're a half game up on the Pistons. But keep in mind, the Pistons have the 8th spot. The Bulls are 7. So they're really... The next closest team to them is the Heat, and they're a game and a half behind.
Well, the Heat have had a very good second. I mean, the Heat have been playing...
2.5.
The Heat have played well. I know that the Heat have been pretty hot. So, I mean, obviously, if you're going off of... They have the same team right now that they had before, so I like their chances. you know, we're, I think we're going to be worse. I mean, we'll see. Look, point guard's been a terrible position for us. So if Cameron Payne could theoretically come in pretty quickly and be our starting point guard, I read that he's a good defender. You know, he has to work on his shot, but so do all of our point guards. So the fact is that if he's defending better than the other two point guards, even if his shot is shaky at the moment, he can even work on it while he's playing in our starting lineup, and he'll be better than what we had before. So, you know, it's a tough call, Fred, because if we have a serviceable point guard, if we have a point guard that, you know, is better than the crap that we have right now, that alone, even if they aren't the impact player that Taj was to us, it might be enough to help us to get us into the playoffs, because the fact of the matter is that this team still lives and dies with Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah.
We still have Jimmy Butler.
We still got him. I mean, we can either build around him or trade. That's the one thing I'm glad they did. You know, you just don't make the trade to trade him. You can easily wait until, you know, the lottery to see what that Boston pick is. And after Boston has another disappointing loss in this playoffs, which they most certainly will, they'll be a little bit more eager to trade. So that's just my opinion. All right, my man, I got to hit the ground running here. You got Gar Foreman's going to be on ESPN 1000.
Well, I look forward to it. I will tune in for that. But, Fred, as always, it's been good talking to you, my man. And until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
All the best to you, brother. If it ain't Bulls, it ain't basketball.
All right, man. You take care.